I'll speak out. One Reitbart, as it relates to Perek Mitzvahs Chalitza, which is the topic of really the week, and that is a Ha'ara related to Chalitza. It's just a little bit of an introduction. One of the most misunderstood chapters in Jewish history is the state of Yiddishkeit in the United States of America, ironically, pre-World War II. So everybody knows that pre-World War II, there wasn't a lot of healthy infrastructure for someone to be a practicing Jew and to raise a Jewish family. There weren't a lot of schools. It was difficult to get a job if you wanted to keep Shabbos. Certainly weren't pizza shops and bagel stores. It was very, very challenging. In fact, as the old adage goes, that it was a tkufa where, quote, it was shveretzes anayid. It was very, very difficult for a person to be a yid. But what not everybody realizes is that pre-World War II, there was a lot of Torah in America. Not amongst the masses, but amongst yechidim, who were, in many cases, talmidei chachamim uflogim, and they were teaching a lot of Torah. They were being marbitz Torah on the highest level, albeit in their dalet ames. And just to name a few gedolim that we may or may not have heard of, just to get a little bit of a tam. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, him everybody heard of. He was the famous Maggid of Vilna. He came to New York City in the late 1800s, and he became the Rabbi Koil, the chief rabbi of New York City, and he fought for Yiddishkeit. He passed away in the year 1902. But he was a Goyen Olam in the homologous sense. He was literally, his shteller before he became Rabbi Koil in New York, he was the Maggid of Vilna, the Ritvaz, who wrote a very famous Pirish on the Yerushalmi, who in the early 1900s was a Rav in Chicago. Rav Tzvi Hersh Grudzinski, he was Rav Chaim Moshe's nephew, who wrote some very important svarim in Halacha and in Lundis, and he was fearing a kehila in Omaha, Nebraska. Rav Doiv Ber Eloi, he was a Talmud of the Chassam Sofer, later a Talmud of the Ksav Sofer. He became a Rav in the early 1860s in one of the states that at the time were in the Confederate States of America, you can't make this up, in New Orleans, Louisiana. You had Rav Tuvia Geffen, who was a Yelid Kovna, who in the early 1900s came to the United States. Originally, he went to Cincinnati, Ohio, and then in 1910, he became a Rav in Atlanta, Georgia, where he feared a kehila for 60 years in Atlanta, Georgia. He's famous as the Coca-Cola rabbi. He was the first Rav to give a hashkoch on Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And the list goes on and on and on. Incidentally, if you want to know more about this period of Jewish history, we have our own in-house international expert, Rabbi Yaakov Bienenfeld Shlita. This is an area that he studied very, very carefully, and he's given many, many shiurim in terms of a lot of fascinating ideas that come out. But the point is, there were literally places that today are favarfin in the United States of America, where you had rabbonim that had gone to the best yeshivas in Europe. They were musmachim from Ga'oinei Yoilam, and they were teaching Torah, and they were writing svarim, albeit in their dalet ames. One such goyim that lived in America in the early 1900s was a Yid by the name of Reb Avram Aaron Yudalovich. Reb Avram Aaron Yudalovich was born in Nevardik in the year 1850. He learned in Volozhin. He became a Rav in his early 20s, which was very common in those days. And in the year 1900, he left the Shtetlach in Litta, and he went to England. He was a Rav in Manchester for about 10 years. He then left his post in England. He went to the United States, originally became a Rav in Bayonne, New Jersey. From there, he went to Boston, Massachusetts, where he was a Rav for 5 years. Eventually, he settled in New York City, where he was a Rav. He was the Rav HaKoyel. He had the position that Rav Yaakov Yosef had. It was the next, and according to most experts, the only other Rav HaKoyel, chief rabbi of New York City, a post that he held until his Petira in the year 1930. Now, just to give a little bit of a feel for who Rav Avram Aaron Yudalovich was, he was a tremendous goyim. He wrote many, many svarim. He wrote 7 volumes of tshuvas. Rove of these tshuvas were written from the United States. It's mind-boggling. Shailos tshuvas base of, there are 7 maduros. In fact, the second madura, Madura Tinyon, it's on Eirachayim, it's 100% on Hilchas Eirvin. So he wrote a whole madura on Hilchas Eirvin. I heard from a Yid who heard from Rav David Feinstein, Zechet Tzadik Levracha, who said that he was once discussing an Erevin Shaila with Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman told him about this certain Shaila, he knew Rav David's from New York City. He said, Rabbi Yudalovich felt Gahat 100 terutzim of that kasha. He was a goyin oilam in the area of Erevin. He has a whole heter agunis in the end of Madura Kama, a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was a big baldarshan. I researched Rabbi Yudalovich a little bit. And one of the themes that permeate everything that I read was that Kol Shalai Shama, anyone that didn't hear a drasha from Rabbi Yudalovich, Lai Shama Drasha Meyom, if he never heard a drasha in his life, arguably the greatest public speaker to ever live in the United States of America. But the point is, he was a tremendous guy. Just one maisa to bring out a little bit. So when he was in England, so he was a Volozhin and he was fakoifing real Torah. And at the time, the Olam wasn't necessarily ready for it. So, you know, not to pick on the Chever from London, but, you know, over the years, we've spoken a little bit about the State of the Union in London in the 1700s in the times of Yaakov Emden. Rabbi Yaakov Emden was caught having a coffee in a coffee shop in London, and they gave him a very hard time. And he told him, "Bistab banfen ameratzim," and he wrote a long tshuva in the Shelas Yavetz. He described him as the Bnei Bashkar, which was not very flattering, something that the Gemara talks about in Masechet Shabbos, but again, we dealt with all the repercussions at the time. I'm not going back there. But again, this is 150 or so years later, and it seems like there was an enclave of Chevra that weren't behaving, and Rabbi Yudalovich used to fight with them, and they gave him a very, very hard time. So the story goes that after being a Rav there for close to 10 years, they call Rabbi Yudalovich for a meeting, and the purpose of the meeting was to let him go. But he didn't know that, and he shows up at this meeting, and he's there, and they serve him this, that, and finally they break the news, and they tell them, say some L'shalom, and they say, not just that, we even arranged a coach that's going to come pick you up, and we're going to send you out on your way. So they're Malava the Rebbe out of the house, and he goes to the coach, and they opened up the coach, and there were Noshim Prutzois Vizoinois sitting in the coach. And they did it pasha to embarrass him, to be malbin and ki'ilu to, and he was very, very embarrassed, and it was a terrible thing. And the Eidim, people that were present at that time, said that there were five people that were involved in this inyan, and all five of them died within that year for being mevazer Rabbi Yudalovich the way they did. But this was Rabbi Avram Aaron Yudalovich, who spent the last 20 years of his life as a Rav in New York, as a Rav in the United States of America, Bayonne, Boston, Massachusetts, and then the last 13 years of his life as a Rav in New York City. One of the Svarim that Rabbi Yudalovich wrote is a sefer called Av B'Chachma. And Av B'Chachma was written primarily, not exclusively, but primarily, 90% of it, related to a psak, a chiddush lahalacha, that he himself had said that literally cared the welt. It turned the world upside down. So Maisa Shahaya Kachaya. So this was in the late 1920s. Rabbi Yudalovich was a very old man at the time. There was a couple that was living in New York City. This couple was childless. Man died, and he left over no children, which meant that she was a Yavama. She was a young woman, and she had a whole life ahead of her. She would have wanted to get married. The problem is that her husband had a brother who was living in the Soviet Union, and she needed chalitza. We don't do yibam. She needed chalitza. The problem is that she had left the Soviet Union illegally, and it was not okay for her to re-enter the country, and he had no way of coming out of the Soviet Union, coming to meet her in the United States. So there was no way to finagle a chalitza. So she came to the Rav, and she didn't know what to do. It meant she was going to be an aguna, and there was going to be no way for her to be able to get married. So Yudalovich had an eitzah. His eitzah was that she should make a shliach, hire somebody, pay him a few shekels, let him go to Russia, and let him be her shliach, or maybe her, maybe we'll find a woman, we can get involved in that, but the point is, make a shliach, and let the shliach go do chalitz on her behalf. It's like this, she won't be there, and a chinami, but you'll do it, ayidei shliach, you can do everything ayidei shliach, so we'll do the chalitz ayidei shliach. But there was a problem. The problem is, it's a mefurish gemara, it's a gemara in Masechtes Ksubos from all places, dafayin dalet amud aleph, it's tucked away, it's in Perek HaMadir. The gemara says, alumnus, the gemara says, that milsa de isa be tnai, isa be shlichos. Milsa, the lesser b'shlichos, lesser b'tanai. Something that you can do ayyadei shliach, you could do ayyadei tonight. But something that you can't do ayyadei shliach, you can't do ayyadei tonight. It's just one of the klolim, one of the rules and regulations of tonight, right? You know, just to make a tonight is not a hefkevelt. It has to be a tonight kafel, and it can't be masna mashakas about Torah, right? There's a whole bunch of halachas. One of the halachas is, it has to be a milsa de isa b'shlichos. I can only make a tonight on something that I could do ayyadei shliach. Says the Gemara, what's a mussel of a milsa the less of a shlichas? So the Gemara says chalitza. Chalitza is something that you can't do al yidei shliach. And because you can't do chalitza al yidei shliach, therefore you can't do chalitza al yidei tanayidah. So Rabbi Dolovich said, it's a nice idea, but l'chayret, we have a problem. It's a mefurish Gemara. The Gemara says you can't do chalitza al yidei shliach. So said Rabbi Dolovich, alumnus was that, Be'emes, if you think about it, why is it that you can't do chalitza al yidei shliach? It's mechusar avana. It has no pshat. The first mission is this getting a mev. You get nimdina sayam. What's a mev? You get a shliach lahilacha. That's bringing a get. So you could do kedushin alidei shliach. You could do gerushin alidei shliach. You could do everything alidei shliach. So if you could do everything alidei shliach, why shouldn't you be able to do chalitza alidei shliach? So Rabbi Dolovich said that I think that the reason you can't do chalitza alidei shliach is based on a ktsois, a very very famous ktsois. It's a ktsois in Simen Kuf Pei Beis. The Ktzais brings the Tosfos Rid, who asks a question, that if you could do everything al yedei shliach, why can't you do a mitzvah al yedei shliach? Why can't I make a shliach to put on tefillin for me in the morning? So I'm not going to put on tefillin, but I'll make a shliach. He'll put on tefillin for me. I'll make a shliach, he'll sit in a sukkah for me. I'll make a shliach, he'll take dalet kminim for me. So why is it, fake the Tosfos Rid, that I can't do a mitzvah? You can do aver al yedei shliach. It's also yesh shliach and varaver. Ain't shliach and varaver. It's only because divrei rabbi, divrei talmud, divrei mishnah. This is all the raid in the ktsos and simin kuf bebes. So why is it that I can't do a mitzvah yedei shliach? So the Tosfos Rid says a teretz, and everyone mutches to understand what the Tosfos Rid means. Oh, but the ktsos famously said that this is the teretz in the ktsos lebes medrash. The ktsos said that a person can only make a shliach to do a maisa for him, but I can't make a shliach for you to become me. So if I want to do something, or I have to do something, so I could appoint you a shliach, you do it, and when you do it, it'll be as if I did it. The chiddush is that your maisa, very minor maisa. But I can't make you a shliach to be me, right? That's not something I could do. You know, yeshiva, they say over a story, the Rebbe Kiveger once went to a chasana, and he came early, and he stayed late, and he spent the whole evening at the chasana. So the Valsimcha came over to Rebbe Kiveger, and he told Rebbe Kiveger, you know, I appreciate it so much that you're spending so much time at my simcha, but I don't know, I'm not such a Talmud Chacham, I'm not a Grace Gevir. Like, what did I do to be Zoicha that Rabbi Kiva Eger is spending so much time at my chasanas? He says, I'm going to tell you the truth, that Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis was supposed to be at this wedding, and he couldn't make it. So he reached out to me, and he asked me to be a shliach, if I can come, please, and if I can vinch on Mazel Tov for Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. So he said, Shluchai Shalodim Kemoisai, which means that as long as I'm at this chasana, I'm Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. He says, I'm not leaving because I want to be here as long as I could. Valichbel Zayin, Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. It's a Meridig of Mice, and it's Rabbi Kiva Eger. Up in Lomdis, but in Lomdis, the Lomdim would say it's not Oiskehalten because Rabbi Kiva Eger doesn't become Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis because he's being a shlich from Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolis. Could be the Mazel Tov that Rabbi Kiva Eger gives is, you have to know, Mili by Mimsur and Lashlich. We could talk about this, but. But the point is that he doesn't become the mensch. A shliach's maisa could be the mishalech's maisa. But doesn't say anywhere that the shliach becomes the mishalech. So zok tzoyis, I can make a shliach to do a maisa for me, but I can't make the shliach me. So let's pick one easy case, tefillin. I have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to do a maisa hanochas tefillin? No. The mitzvah is to do a maisa hanochas tefillin, but on me. If I put tefillin on you, so I'm helping you from being a karkafta delay monach tefillin, vadvarim atikin. But I'm not mekayim mitzvahs tefillin. Tefillin, I have to put on my guf. So he says, I can make a shliach to do that. And it's as if I did it, but it's as if I put tefillin on him. It's not as if I put tefillin on me. I can't make you a shliach to become me. Your maisa could be my maisa. And maybe your maisa anochas tefillin is my maisa anochas tefillin. But at the end of the day, tefillin has to be on my guf. And because it has to be on my guf, you and your guf cannot become and cannot be my goof. So said Rabbi Dolovich, that I feel that maybe the reason Chazal said you can't do chalitza yedei shliach is because chalitza does not involve a maisa. Now, is that true? Chalitza doesn't involve a maisa? The chaltzanaloi, today's daf, the yorka b'fanav. So said Rabbi Dolovich, the woman does a maisa, but the man doesn't do a maisa. All the man does is he stands there, puts on a shoe, which is not part of the chalitza, pashtas, and then he stands there as she removes the shoe off his foot, and as if she spits on him. So when the Torah said that the man should play a role in the chalitza, what does the Torah want? There's no maisa. All it is that he should be there. And she should do the maisa, and she should remove the shoe, and she should spit in his presence. So said Rabbi Golovitch, that when the Gemara says he can't do chalitza yidei shliach, what the Gemara meant was that he can't do chalitza yidei shliach. And it makes sense, because he doesn't do anything. So for him to do chalitza yidei shliach would be as if the shliach becomes him. And the ktsois and kuf beis, per the Tosis Rid, was already megala, there's no such mitzias. But she who does a maisa, what's the difference between chalitza and kedushin and gerushin and all other kinyan where you find Allah is that you can do it al yidei shliach? So said Rabbi Yudalovich, it's the man that can't make a shliach, but the woman could make a shliach. So he sat down and he wrote a tshuva. And he said that I believe this woman can hire someone, can go to Russia, figure out a way to get a visa into the Soviet Union, be a shliach, do the chalitza, and everything is going to be okay. After he wrote this tshuva, he sent it to Rabbanim. And this tshuva started making its rounds. And Ruba, Ben Benoy Shal Ruba of Rabbanim were not masking to the Chiddush. And some for this reason, and others for that reason. But Kimat, Ki Isha Echa B'Lev Echad, the G'dayli Yisrael were not masking. They wrote back to Rabbi Yudalovich. Rabbi Yudalovich wrote back to them. There was a lot of back and forth in Shakla V'Tarya. And it was from this Shakla V'Tarya that was born the Sefer of B'Chachma. And the of B'Chachma, it's about 125 pages long. Very hard to find, but I actually have an original right here. Extremely rare. And in the Sefer of B'Chachma, the overwhelming image, about 100 or so pages of it, is the back and forth, and it's the Shakla V'Tarya between Rabbi Yudalovich and different G'day Le'olam. Beroshim, the Rogachov, talks to Rabbi Yudalovich a lot in of B'Chachma. And he put it out, and this was the Psak. Now, just to mention a few highlights, very, very brief highlights, as far as the Toichin of the Tshuva. And really, and this is interesting. This chiddush of Rabbi Yudalovich was a fascinating chiddush, but he wasn't the first one to say it. In fact, there's a tshuva that was written by the Marsham, the Brzhanerov, where the Marsham already wanted to say such a chiddush. Now, the Marsham's tshuva is fascinating. The Marsham wrote a tshuva in Brzhan about a couple that was living in Odessa, in Ukraine. And this couple also, man died, there were no children, and he had a brother that was living, in the words of the Marsham, Bimbindinas Portland, Asher Ba America. So this is in Portland, Oregon, which is Favarfin, even if you live in America, by the way. This is the Pacific Northwest. So not a hot vacation spot, by the way. I don't think you can even find kosher food there. I mean, it's Chabad, I'm sure, but not an easy spot. But anyway, he says, Bimbindinas Portland, you know, as if it's Kotsk, you know. Bimbindinas Portland, Asher Ba America. So he said he's there, and he's a mummer, he's a bad guy, and he's not willing to meet the Yevama, and he's not willing to do Chalitza. But it seems they were able to plea bargain with him a little bit. They were able to negotiate that he won't meet his sister-in-law. But if she sends a shliach, then already he's willing to talk. And he's willing to maybe even go through with the chalitza. The problem is, you can't meet a shliach. Chalitza has to be done. Chalitza can't be done all day shliach. So the Marsham wrote a tshuva where he said the chiddush of Rabbi Yudalovich. And he said that ulai, that when Chazal said that you can't do chalitza yidei shliach, they only meant the man, because the man's not doing anything. So really you need the guf of the man. And as a result, you have the ktsois and kuf bebez with the taisri, that's not something that's going to be an option. However, the woman who does a maisa, v'yorka, v'chotza nalai, so she's actually physically doing something. It's because she's physically doing something. So maybe over there it's going to be different. And based on that, maybe you would be able to do a shliach. But the Marsham said it's not so poshut. And his muschul rishon was that maybe it's tali in a marach or zeruah. So there's a Marach or Zeruah. The Marach or Zeruah was the Zeruah's son. And the Marach or Zeruah, in Simen Kuf Chav Ches, in his tshuvas, in the middle of a tshuva, he asks this question. Why is it that you can't do Chalitza Yidei Shliach? And he offers two suggestions. One pshat, he's very big, it's like one line. So what, both reasons on one line. So one, he says, is that maybe, being that you can't do Yibama Yidei Shliach, so too, you can't do chalitza yidei shliach. It's obvious you can't do yibum yidei shliach. And chalitza is b'makom yibum. So being that chalitza is b'makom yibum, so maybe it's for that reason you can't do chalitza yidei shliach here. Either. Inami, he says, because it says in the Torah, quote, v'choltso naloi me'al ragloi. What does that even mean? So said the Brzhanerov, it could be that really this shayla, we'd be telling the two reasons of the mashal. And maybe that's what the Marach HaZeruah meant. If the reason you can't do chalitza yidei shliach is because it's b'makom yibum, so what's the difference if it's him or if it's her? he wouldn't be able to make a shlich for Yibum, and she wouldn't be able to make a shlich for Yibum. So obviously, they both can make a shlich for Yibum. They both can make a shlich for Yibum. Chalitza is b'makom Yibum, so maybe you can't make a shlich for Chalitza either. If, however, the reason is because it says v'choltza nalami aragli, maybe what the Maracher Zeruah meant to say was v'daf hobin zaynefus, and you have to have his shoe. So that's more of a svara for him. First of all, that's nalai and raglai, and as it relates to her being the fakir in the gedarim and in the lumdis of shlichas, it would be very very mistaken that you should be able to make a shlich. Because why should it be different in Gerushin and Kedushin? Maybe over there it would be okay. One of the ha'aris that the Marsham mentions in this tshuva, which is very gishmak, he says the Maracher Zeruah said that maybe the reason is no chalitza ide shliach is based on the fact because chalitza is b'makom yipon. It's a Maracher Zeruah, it's a rishon. If it's a rishon, you can't argue, right? But he said that it could be I have a toisus in Mesechta Tzivam Estaf Yud Chesam Beis, where it's mavur not that way. Nifwa. Toisus over there is discussing Maimer. Maimer lebei Shammai, which we know is koine kinyan gomer. So Maimer lebei Shammai is the real thing, right? It's mamish like Yibum. It's koine kinyan gomer midei raisa. And it's mavur in Toisus. Toisus in one of the cases with the brothers and the sisters, and one of those faplontedige cases here in Mesechta Tzivam Es. So Toisus over there is mazbe the case. It's talking about with the two brothers, they both made a shliach to do Maimer on their behalf. It's mavur in Toisus that Maimer lebei Shammai you could do all your day shliach. So the Marsham said that if the Bali Toisus held like the Maracher Zeruah, that anything that's b'makom yibum can't be done al yidei shliach, and that's pshat in the sugin ksubis ayin dalid that you can't do chalitza yidei shliach. So l'chayr maimel beishamay zoichet b'makom yibum, because the ikur mitzvah even beishamay is moides yibum. No vos, it doesn't have to be yibum, and anything else is a distant second. Chalitza v'didan. And Maimer too, Aliba de Beishamai. And if it's Mavur and Toisvis that you could do Maimer the Beishamai, Al Yedei Shliach, so Vaisvis Toisvis didn't hold it at Svara. So the first time of the Maracher Zeruah, which would seem to disqualify not just the man, but also the woman from being able to do Chalitza Al Yedei Shliach, would be a Svara. Is a stark svara of in Toisus Mavur not that way. And if the Machloek is Toisus and the Maracher is Zeruah, we probably paskin like the Bali Toisus. And if that's the case, it'd be Muchach the second time of the Maracher is Zeruah. And if like the second time of the Maracher is Zeruah, it's actually mashma a little bit that maybe there is a chilik between the man and the woman. Either way, it's a tremendous pilpul, and there were a whole bunch of different svaras that he said at the end of the tshuva. He tells the Shoyl, who, by the way, with a little bit of investigative journalism, was none other than the Avnei Nezer. He tells the Shoyl, who's the Avnei Nezer, and by the way, there's a response, a rebuttal, to this tshuva by the Avnei Nezer himself, that's printed in Shoyl's tshuva, Avnei Nezer, it's in Reish Chav Gimel. So this was a conversation that the Marsham and the Avnei Nezer were having, which very much centered around this chiddush. But he tells the Avnei Nezer that if the Avnei Nezer is maskim to my chiddush, he's befrat that the mummer was the yavam was a mummer, right? The Avnei Nezer, I went through the tshuva. So the Avnei Nezer, in the beginning of the tshuva, he describes this yid who's living in Portland, right? So this the Avnei Nezer and the Marsham, they're both handling some yid who's a mummer, who's a mechal Shabbos b'farhesi, who's living in Medina's Portland, Asher b'America. So the Avnei Nezer said that this person is a malig al divrei chachamim. Said, why? Because when they told him, they tried selling him on doing chalitza. This is what they told him. He says, you know, your brother died. And they said, the Zohar Kaddish says, we have read bites on the Zohar, but the Zohar Kaddish says that chalitza is a tremendous tikkun for the neshama of the mace. And he told him all the things that the Zohar says. He says, do it for your brother. He said, do it for your brother. So he said, the Zohar, ein ze ela, and in quotations, the Avnei Nezer writes, chazerai. As I say in Chuvas Avnei Nezer, told him it's Chazerah. So he said, "His mamish a malig adivrei chachamim." So he said, and being that we know the shittas hagoyim that the Mordechai brings a perak hachoylitz, that a mummer is not even zoykik liyibum. So he felt that betzir of the Mordechai, this person maybe anyways is not a zoykik liyibum. And mishum meguna kilu beirabonim, and shoktu chachamim al bnois Yisrael. And we have this super duper lumdus that we're going to make a shliach anyways to go ahead and do it. So he said, I'm willing to go forward with this. But he tells the Avnei Nezer only if you're maskin. So it was back and forth, and the Avnei Nezer writes back to him. He said, I discussed it with a few different rabbanim. He says, Uberoisham the Chdusharim. So he writes, and the Chdusharim told him, I'm not maskin. He said, I'm not maskin. And the Marsham writes back to the Avnei Nezer that if the Chdusharim is not maskin, I'm not going to go forward with it either. It's amazing. They were all machniya in this psak to the Chdusharim, the Eshtegar Rebbe. And they said, if that's the case, I'm walking away. And they all walked away from it. And the Marsham walked away from this psak. But Rabbi Yudalovich didn't walk away from this psak. And Rabbi Yudalovich persisted. And he went further and further. And ultimately, he was matter this woman to be able to get married. And it made a tremendous shtarim in the Olam HaTorah. And the Rabbanim felt that they had to come out very, very strongly against Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch. And they did. Rabbi Chaim Moses Bezdin in Vilna took out newspaper ads in America, being moich against the psak of Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch, and saying that he was mater, Yavam Lashuk, and it's a very, very big problem. They didn't say anything about the gavra, the mensch, Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch, but it was about the psak halacha that he was mater, this Yavama, and they came out very, very strong. This happened, this whole tumult, 1926, 27, 28. Lamaisa, Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch was nifter in 1930, and really the last 2 years of his life, he had tremendous agmas nefesh. It was very, very difficult for him. A lot of things were said, as are very often in these types of contexts, and people alienated themselves from him. This was a yid who spent a lifetime, a career, close to imbigvuroi shmoinim shon, of being marbitz toyer and being moisa nefesh, the toyer in America. But at the same time, because of this psak, he was alienated completely. They say, and this is documented and fact-checked, that the day of his levaya, a lot of the rabbonim that would have came to levaya did not come because of the av b'chachma, because of this tumult. And the levaya wasn't kefi kvoidoi. And it is said that on that day, there was a blackout in New York City that lasted several hours. And the rabbonim tied it afterwards that it was poshet, they were being moicha, the kvoidoi shor Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch al tam b'chachm shloi nispa ka'alach. Because at the end of the day, this was a yid that was an incredible, incredible Talmud Chacham. You know, it's interesting. My hergish, just going through this, was that, you know, we take for granted that Avada today, Torah is thriving in the United States of America. And Reb Moshe and Reb Aaron and the Satmar Rav and the Lubavitcher Rebbe and all the Gedolim in America that worked so hard to really bring Torah to life in America. But there were seeds that were being planted. America, the United States, was a midbar shmama. And there were seeds that were being planted, and there were yiddin that were incredibly moisa nefesh. And most of these yiddin we've never heard of. Forget about being household names, but these are yiddin that we never heard of. But yiddin that learned in the most chashavi yeshivas, and that were talmidim. Rabbi Lovitch was a musmach from the Oynig Yontif. Just to give you an idea, the Oynig Yontif. And we have a sog in the Oynig Yontif. Oynig Yontif has come out like the tzois, right? We can't even fathom that. And these yiddin, they came to America and they fought. And the bizyonis that they had to put up with. And the drushes that they gave. You know how hard it was to shvetz on a yid. Can you imagine what it was like to be a rav and to be someone that's beating people up and, you know, trying anything they could to try to get people, you know, to do the right thing? They say that the Satmar Rav used to tell people when people came to him for Yeshua's and for brachas, he would tell people to go to the cave of Rabbi Yaakov Yosef. Right? It's Yodua. That he would tell people to go daven by Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, the Rabbi Koil of New York City. And he said, because this was a yid that planted seeds for Torah in America, and at gelitten from them, moiridige bezioinus. The bezioinus that he went through is loyu umin ki yasukar. And he says, the schus of a person that goes through bezioinus to build Torah is Ein L'Shayer. And the Heilige Divrei Yoel used to send people to Rabbi Yaakov Yosef's Tzion. He said, that's a place that you could be Poel Yeshua's. And that's just a hergish of such yidden. And here you have Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch, who wrote 7 volumes of Tshuvas. They have drushes that he gave. There's a sefer that was written on Megillah. Incidentally, I spoke to the yid who put out the sefer. His name is Rav Moshe Tzvi Berger. Lives in Brooklyn, and he spent like the last 30, 40 years of his life, literally, to reprint all the Sfarim of Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch, and he felt like it's an Avodas HaKodesh to go put out his Sfarim. And he said that when he put out, he found this manuscript on Megillah. The sefer was called Yad Hashem. That's Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch named it. About 10 years ago, he reprinted it. Could be my numbers are off a drop, but it was recent memory that he reprinted it. He sent it to the printer, and the printer made a mistake. He saw Yad, and he wrote Yad twice. So the name of the Sefer, if you can find it, is not Yad Hashem, it's Yedid Hashem. He said, maybe Simon Milsehi from Shemayim, that Rabbi Yehuda Lovitch was Yedid Hashem. But I'll just tell you one fascinating postscript to this, and that is that anyone that uses Oitzer HaChachma has heard of the Sefer Av B'Chachma. I'm willing to bet he has no idea what the Sefer Av B'Chachma is and who Rabbi Avram Aaron Yehuda Lovitch was. But anyone that's ever used Yitzhak Chachma knows the Sefer Av B'Chachma. Because for whatever reason, and this is Hashkocha Nefla, but in the over 100,000 plus or so Svarim that are on Yitzhak Chachma, the very first Sefer on Av B'Chachma, it's in alphabetical order, is the Sefer Av B'Chachma. And any person, you log on to Yitzhak HaChachma, the homepage, you literally see the Sharblad. Here's the original. But this is what you'll see if you log on to Ezra Chachma. You will see the Sharblat of Av B'Chachma, which was written by Rabbi Avram Aaron Yudalovich. So this is a Yid who was a Goyen Olam, who was Moisa Nefesh. And again, this is above our pay grade. But because of the Av B'Chachma, unfortunately, the ending wasn't so good. But Hashkacha had it that for whatever reason, decades and decades later, every single person that would log on to Ezra Chachma would see Av B'Chachma and Rabbi Avram Aaron Yudalovich's name staring at him. Yehi Zichrei Baruch, and we will stop here.